from the mount called Olivet. Down and across the Kidron Valley, eastward from the old city of Jerusalem, is a mount called Olivet. It's named for the olive trees that have thrived and lived there for millennia. Looking out from that hill, you can see where the temple, the crucifixion tree, and the tomb once stood, which was the moon, the sun, the earth, I'm not sure, but they all fall in line, eclipsing one in the other. The mount called Olivet fell along the Palm Sunday parade route. Jesus prayed and was arrested in its garden, Gethsemane, among the olive groves following the Lord's Supper. The mount called Olivet was one of the primary residences for Jesus and the disciples for the 40 days following Jesus' resurrection at Easter, when Jesus presented himself alive by many convincing proofs and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And still the disciples ask, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" And maybe it was then that Jesus knew it was time for him to go. You see, the kingdom of God is not temporary, political, or located among one people. It is not small or hemmed in by borders. The kingdom of God is where life and love, care and commitment reside together in God's will. "Thy kingdom come," we pray. "Thy will be done." On earth, in all of the earth, as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is not just here and now, or even there and then, but where and when heaven and earth are aligned in, reflected in, eclipsed by God's will. Suffering will sleep. Death will be dormant. Hunger and pain and sadness will fall. Joy and laughter will rise. Children will thrive. The poor will be fed and known and loved. God's kingdom is bigger than our own. Thank God. Jesus tells the disciples yet again that it is not the time, that the time is not for them to know, that we are not in charge of God's justice, God's authority, God's plan, God's timing. Thank God. But Jesus also doesn't leave the disciples in the dark. He doesn't shut them out. He shifts them to dreams of authority, to a reality of power, that is, that which they are able to do. He says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will be able, Jesus says, to point to the kingdom of God, to be a witness of the kingdom of God. You will see the kingdom of God. And then he was gone, ascended into heaven, lifted up, hidden by the clouds. Jesus, the one visible sign of God's kingdom on earth, no longer seen or heard or touched or felt. And the disciples were left looking up, seeing nothing. And then two men, like the two at the tomb on Easter morning, arrived. On Easter, they said, "He is not here. He is risen." And on Ascension, they say, "Why do you stare into heaven? He has been lifted up." You see, Jesus' departure will mark the arrival of the disciples, they will be his witnesses, ones who have personal knowledge, who will carry the proof, who can give evidence. Against all odds, these 11, soon to be 12 again, will change the world, as unlikely as they were since they were first called. These humble, poor, faithful followers will go to the ends of the earth with Jesus on their lips and in their hearts. They will write scripture and plant churches and carry Christ so that even you and I and people yet to be born will come to believe, belong, and become ones who bear Christ's name and live in Christ's love. Jesus tells his disciples that the power of the Holy Spirit will change them, lead them, make them able. That is, it's not just up to them alone, unlikely as they are. None of us are ever alone in the work we do. It is not just up to us. It is the Spirit that will change, lead, and guide them. It's the same Holy Spirit that abides with you, was given to you in your baptism, is as close as your breath, and is multiplied in community. Beautiful, isn't it? A beautiful idea. But what does it even mean? I want you to tell me in the narthex, or over email, or when I run into you at the grocery store, or sit by you at a baseball game or at the hockey rink, while you're volunteering in the kitchen, or at the home, or up at camp. Any of these questions, there are many. Think about the one that sticks out to you. Tell me, where was their life, even in the face of death? Who is lifting you up? What was bigger and beyond you? What gave you patience when you thought you had none left to give? What was completely upside down and yet right side up? When did forgiveness change you? What does hope look like? What got you through? How can we walk with you into what's next? On that mount called Olivet, over in Jerusalem, you can see still, 2,000 some years later, the right footprint left by Jesus at his ascension into heaven. It's cast in stone and has been revered by pilgrims through the centuries. It's quite large, perhaps larger than that fish that got away. It feels like it's growing. Which is to say, I'm not sure that I buy the footprint per se. But it does remind us that Jesus once walked this earth. His footprints made an impact on this ground. He left an impression on the dirt and sand and stone. He left an impression on people like you and me. He reminds us that God chose us to come to us with love and grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness. Jesus walked this earth, and through us, his body, he walks it still. As you go from this mount called Olivet, as you walk out those doors today, I want you to look up. Like those disciples did all those years ago. I want you to look up and see what we call the ascension window. See Jesus with his wounds. See the cloud. See the disciples. See this promise that ever goes before us as we leave this place called Olivet. Look up and then look out and go out and see the world again through this truth. Jesus came, died, was raised, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, wounds and all. He has sent the Spirit to accompany you in this life. You, for you, and for the whole world. God is not finished with us yet. God works through you in your life to bless the world. So look up and see Jesus, and then go from this mount called Olivet into the ends of the earth. Because wherever we are at the ends of the earth. Miles and oceans from Jerusalem, we carry Christ's body in our own, into the places we go, into the lives we know, in the streets we live, the love we give, and the work that we do. We don't ever go alone, and we don't go without help. Thanks for being church together, wherever you are. Amen.